ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Case, and I am so excited that you're here. Welcome to the show. We're going to have an amazing conversation with Moshe today, looking at the soul, the mind, and money. Very in-depth conversation about the intertwining of energies in our lives and how that kind of doesn't serve us, and how we can begin to get more conscious in the differentiation of the energy streams that we work with in a day-to-day life. This is going to be a very interesting conversation. I've had some powerful experiences over the last couple of weeks. Moshe and I have talked on and off. And when we decided to getting ready for this show, we thought, why not? Let's put that out there. And it seemed like there were different constructs, but when we put them together, we realized that it's all part of the same collection of energy about this differentiation of streams of energy that we attend to throughout our daily experience. So really excited about this conversation. Moshe will be joining us in just a moment. But before we begin, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about my book, share some insight into the book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. And what I know about my book, and I say this regularly, is that it can change your life. And why I say that is quite simply because when you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything in your experience. And I was looking this morning, and I wanted to talk a little bit about a particular chapter. And this came as a result of working with one of my clients and just exploring a little bit more about the book to give you a sense of what we're talking about. So in the chapter, Exploring Our Understanding of God, I get into looking at what is your relationship with God and how that is foundational to who we are. When we understand what our relationship to God is, then we understand where we are in the scheme of things energetically, spiritually, because it defines what we consider the unknowable, or it defines what we consider the great, something greater than ourselves. And what I try to do with this in the book is talk about how significant that relationship is, because it's a relationship that you come in with, meaning your connection to the divine, your connection to the universe, but it's also then refocused in many cases into a religious construct, which is where things can go south and many times do go south. But I wanted to talk about this chapter because I want you to understand that fear is a choice is not about religion or not religion. It's just all about energy. And so dispelling some of the myths around the things that we hold dear is really important in order to be able to step into a higher level of consciousness and to get a deeper understanding of ourselves. So I just want to read a quick excerpt here about this question, what is our relationship with God? What is vital to realize here is that the question, what is your relationship with God, is highly personal. It speaks to the very core of who you are. Regardless of your human beliefs, your relationship with God reflects the deepest aspects of the entirety of your being. Indeed, this is the ultimate existential question, crucial to our understanding and evolution. While Christians have long discussed and awaited the second coming of Jesus, I would like to consider the true second coming as the realization that God is already here, living and breathing through us, in us, as us, and by us actualizing and aligning with that great truth. Coming to this alignment with who we are is not a religious experience, but rather a deeply personal and spiritual one. The experience of being in alignment is unique and beautiful for every human being. There is no right or wrong way, no protocol, no measuring stick of worthiness. You are already that and more. Living in alignment is about turning away from being outwardly driven and fear motivated to inwardly driven and allowing your awesomeness to express through the powerful inspiration created through your alignment with capital S self / God. This is how heaven on earth is created right here, right now. And it happens individually whenever you are ready. In other words, heaven on earth will not happen in a surprise visit in some nebulous future when some angry God decides. It is in the now that you decide. It is all about alignment and connection with the love that is all that is. So just a little sample there of what's happening in my book. I hope that you find that powerful. I hope you find that engaging. I hope you decide to go pick up a copy of my book. You can order on Amazon. You can order on Barnes & Noble. You can order Kindle. www.adventuresintruth.com, my website. You can find out more there and direct links to the book. And I'll try to put some links in the comments from the show. And that's it on the book, guys. Thank you very much. If you're listening, if you enjoy the show, please like, please subscribe, please ring that bell. Let your friends know. Get engaged with the show. We love to get your comments. If you'd like to talk with us while we're on the show, ask questions or comment to us, you can go to the Adventures in Truth podcast Facebook page, and the live will be at the top of the page. On that page, you can actually, in your comments, you can connect with us. So we'd love for you to do that, and we'd love for you to like and subscribe and support us. So thank you very much, guys. And on the other side of the break, Moshe's going to join us, and we're going to dive into this amazing topic. Thanks, y'all. And we are back. And here I go again. Didn't change my green screen. See, Losha, I've got too many buttons to push here, bud. How are you?
Good.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see you. How's California?
Still here.
Still there. Good, good, good. Hasn't fallen off yet or anything?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Colorado here, we're getting that winter thing going on. I think it was 30 yesterday, and there was a snowstorm blowing all around mountains and stuff. So we're having some fun.
What we do in Southern California, like yesterday, I was wearing my down jacket. It was probably high 50s.
Yes, I am a weather sissy and proud of it. No. For sure. All right. We got a great conversation today. The soul, the will, and money. So I'm not even sure where to begin with this one. I mean, I have an idea, but I thought maybe we should talk about, so what is it? What is it that we're looking at here? And that is this, the genesis of this came about over a couple of weeks ago, I guess, as I was kind of processing, I was reaching a point with the show and with the work that I was feeling very unhappy. And I wasn't understanding what was going on because I love the show. I love creating the show. I love this opportunity to connect in this way and to talk about the things that are important to me and to the co-hosts that come with me. But more importantly, to sort of lay this foundation between the book and the program and the show, to lay a foundation for people to step into their own transformation. And I was starting to become really unhappy with it. And I was really frustrated because I couldn't figure out what was going on for a little while. And I think Moshe and I had talked one day, and I was telling him, you know, hey, this is kind of what's happening and, you know, what I'm noticing. And what I became aware of was that I was lumping all kinds of different things together. And I've always said that I don't want to be on a treadmill, meaning I don't want, whatever I do, I don't want to go some prescribed pattern of doing things, because I don't think that's what we're here for. I think we're here to forge our own expression in this world, whatever that looks like. And it doesn't mean that I can't use my energy and power to uplift and support someone who has a greater expression or a more profound way of expressing. I'm saying that when we allow that spark of who we are to come forward, when we allow the soul to express in that fashion, there is, I just derailed quickly.
You were talking about the genesis of this when you had multiple streams.
So the treadmill piece was, I found myself being gently, not intentionally, and nobody was doing anything bad to me, just in the interactions that I was having through my life and this work, that I was getting sort of nudged into the direction of, oh, you need to do this way, and oh, you need to go this direction, and oh, money, and what are you doing for sponsorships, and what are you doing for this, and what are you doing for that, to get this show to do whatever it is that their version of this should be, where mine is the version of sharing who I am with people and sharing this work with people. And so what we found out in that is discovering that I was thinking in terms of the treadmill and starting to push into that literally because it's not who I am or what I want to do. And as I was migrating into that unintentionally, really, I was thinking I was taking steps to get things done. And what I realized was that's not what I was doing. I was forcing a path because I thought I had to, because I thought I had to turn all of this into money. I had to turn everything I'm doing into a way to make money. And that in and of itself will suck the life out of everything I think about and everything I do, because it's not what motivates me. I think money is important. I think money is valuable. I think money is essential, but it is not the thing that runs my life. Because if it did, that's again where I think we start to see the difference between the soul and the will. The will is the one that wants to make it about money, wants to make it about income. So I don't want to dive too deeply because I want to let Moshe jump in here and share his perspective before we go to break. But so that's kind of the essence of where this conversation is going. Did I kind of bring it to a point here somewhere, Moshe?
Yeah, I think so.
Anything you want to add to that? Any thoughts you had about, whilst talking, just sort of lay the foundation before we go to a quick meditation?
Yeah. It's on one level, it seems like an odd combination, the soul, the will, and money. And this started with just the first two, the soul and the will, and which one wins when or which one is called forth and how they interact and all that. And then we added and that would be a good conversation, be a little more abstract, I think. Mm-hmm. And adding in money just makes it very real in a different way. So that's how we got to this particular combination of three. And we'll be talking about the interaction between all three.
Yes. And some great stories and some interesting evolution that has occurred as a result of that whole understanding. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back as we always do with an opening meditation now that we've sort of laid the groundwork for where we're going. Take just 5 minutes to really focus all of our energies, yours and mine, because I like all of us to kind of be energetically in the same ballpark, because the more energy moving in the same direction is going to help us take this process even deeper and more value to you and how you can apply that to your experience. So we'll be back right after this quick segue. All right. Moshe will be back with us in just a sec. So take a deep breath. Join me here in this magical place of now. We're going to have a powerful conversation. Differentiating the soul and the mind and how money plays into all of that. And what I want you to do right now is just find your breath, find your center, close your eyes and become present to this moment. Just feel your way into your body, get settled. If you can, connect to the earth. Obviously, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. And just become aware in this moment. The only focus I want you to have is just be aware of what you are attending to in this moment. What is your consciousness, your energy? What are you focusing on? What is capturing your attention? part of becoming conscious is becoming aware of how we use our energy and where we use our energy. And many times, whenever we have things that are occupying space in our field, in our mind, those things draw energy. And when they're not resolved, when they're not, when they're active, they draw a lot of energy. So what I want you to do is become aware of those things. You don't have to do anything with them at this moment. You just become aware of where is your energy and what is it attending to. It can be sounds, it can be thoughts, it can be a fight, it can be something good, it can be relationships, it can be work, it can be anything and everything. So as you become aware of where your energy is, now that you have a conscious awareness of where the focus is, now I want you to consciously choose to pull all of your energy into your body, meaning remove all attention to the outside for this moment. Just gently bring it in. It's your energy to command. So just bring that energy right into your heart space, right into your chest. Just bring that focus. Just see it as it's just gently, you're pulling it in. You're bringing it in, that awareness, disconnecting from all those outside stimulus, letting them go. If they need to be attended to, they'll still be there in the next now when you get done. Focusing right now into the body. And allow your consciousness inside your body to begin exploring the inside of your body. Feel around the inside of your being. What does it feel like on the inside as you allow your consciousness to explore your head and behind your eyes and in your sinuses and in your brain? As you feel into and explore the connection in the brain to the spine, as the muscles and tendons and all the bones and things in your neck, feeling your conscious awareness through your chest and through your torso. Just let your body move just a little bit as you let that consciousness, as the awareness, take in how you're experiencing the inside of you. If you happen to notice as you're traveling inside some discomfort, just put a gentle focus and breathe into it. Breathe air and life into that energy. Let it dissipate. Let it open up. And let that consciousness travel down your arms and down your legs, through your hips. Again, just being aware what is happening inside of you. Just experience it. No judgment, no pressure. And as you continue to focus internally, we're now going to focus all breath and energy all focus and energy into the breath, into the heart, and into the breath. And what we're going to do is we're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to fill completely. At the top, we're going to rest in fullness. Then we're going to purge all of that old energy and air out of the mouth. We're going to release it to a count of six. And we do that so that you can purge the deepest parts of the lungs, getting all of that stale energy and air out of the body so that when you go into a new inhale, it's filled with rich new energy. And remember, the focus in breathing, because I believe breath is the foundation of our experience. So we want to connect to breath. We want to manage breath. Because as we consciously choose to bring breath, we are bringing life. We are bringing life force. We are bringing energy and chi and prana, all those amazing things, all the same things essentially, but bringing them into this experience and enlivening all of the cells of the body. Because remember, this is all energy. This is all mostly space. So the more we can fill it with life and aliveness, the more power that we have in it. So inhale to four, resting at the top, exhaling to six, resting at the bottom. So here we go. Focusing all of that awareness and energy right into the heart space and right into the breath. As you inhale, two, three, four, feeling full, resting, relaxing, and then releasing through the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, and rest for a moment in the emptiness. Feel it. As you engage the lungs, you inhale, two, three, four, feeling full, relax the shoulders and the neck, and now release from the mouth, two, three, four, five, six, resting at the bottom, feeling the void, engaging and inhaling, two, three, four, five, six, resting. And I got trapped there, so we're going to go back to exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as you rest in the void. Engaging as you inhale. 2, 3, 4, feeling full, resting at the top, relaxing, and then purging once again. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, resting into the void, continuing the pattern on your own, maintaining that focus, maintaining that as you inhale, filling completely. Fill all of that air filtering through your body. You're at the top, and then as you're releasing it, feeling yourself purging all that energy as you make space for new energy. And now taking in these words, just let them flow through you. Let yourself connect to your power, to all of who you are. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And now just rest in the breath, letting the breath become normalized. Feeling that cleansing, feeling that openness, feeling that connection. And allow your awareness now to move back outside your body. Don't direct it anywhere. Just allow your energy back out into the world as you connect with us and the world around you. Coming back in gently. Going to bring Moshe back in. And we're going to carry on with our powerful conversation today. We're going to start, I think, with the will. Why not? I think. So, the will. Let's talk about the will. This has become, over time, it's such an interesting statement to everything that we're experiencing, quite frankly, you know, with regard to our government, in regard to kind of everything going on, is really the result of a will-driven experience when you think about it. It's to me, it is all kinds of humans who have chosen to only focus in the physical reality, only focus through the five senses. So if I can touch it, taste it, feel it, smell it, hear it, then it's important. And if I can do those things and then I can dominate my world, I can manage and control my world, then I will be successful. And that will make money, and that will give me a career, and that will give me a life. That's to me the expression of will. Will is all of that. Is it bad and wrong? No, not necessarily. Is it a full experience? No, not necessarily. To me, it's especially over time, the will becomes way less appealing to me as I explore my experience. And this is kind of where the story started at the beginning of the show. I was being encouraged in my will to move things forward in a way that did not feel organic. And that's where my discomfort was coming from, what I was experiencing about the show and the book. And there was, and all well-meaning, wonderful people. You know, it's not about being attacked or assaulted. This is just normal interaction in our day-to-day life as you deal with people from all spectrums of life. We all have ultimately, anyone living on the planet at this point, who's been on the planet for the last 50 or 60 years, has been entrained into the will model. We all have. It's all about fight, focus. I think Zoe came in, your door opened.
You're right.
Hi, Zoe. And all of the things that, again, they've been beneficial because they have empowered us to understand we have the ability to create. but we've limited the scope of that creation to what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and blah, because we're in the physical reality, we think that's all there is. And then we wonder why there isn't a sense of joy or satisfaction in those things that we've created, or the sensation or the experience is only momentary because there's nothing connected to it that is about who we truly are. It's focusing on what I would consider the lesser of our experience and not the greater. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
So any thoughts on that so far? Anything you want to?
Yeah. It the way I'm hearing you talk about it sounds like the will is optional, that we can choose to engage it or not. And you said you weren't judging it as good or bad. I guess I think the will sometimes is necessary, and it matters how much, if we let the will be in charge, mm-hmm. or if it's more a servant to us.
Mm-hmm. Good way to put it. Yeah, that there is a, it isn't that the will is bad, it is the thing that helps us to create momentum. It is the thing that is part of the focus of the physical reality. You know, it takes an act of will to pick up this pair of glasses. I have to intend it. I have to see it. I have to intend it. I have to see that it's there. I have to reach for it. I have to grasp it, and I have to pick it up. That all is an act of will in my experience, because this is going to get a little crazy here, guys. So in my construct of will, is the will is a motivating and a motivating force within the ego. The ego, in my way of thinking, is the consciousness that runs the physical body in time and space, in the physical reality. So something has to connect between spirit and between the physicality, so that if we connect to that larger part, if we align to that part, larger part of ourselves, and allow ourselves to be inspired, there has to be a way to exercise that inspiration. That's where will comes. Because we are inspired, and that inspiration says, let's do X. And in order to do X is an act of will, means you have to focus your energy and intention into what that is. And in many cases, that inspiration is more feeling. It's more outcome driven, not the how path, if that makes sense. So you're allowing the will to inform, or no, excuse me, you're allowing the soul to inform how you use that energy going into the world. So how do I take this inspiration, focus it through the will, and then use that to help me take steps, or to help me fully embrace or align with what it is I feel that I want to create. I don't know if we're getting too.
No, that was good. That's, to me, that's an example of how, what your thing you do when you get this download, and I'll call it Jim's inspiration on tap.
That's it, inspiration on tap. So let's say we'll leave it at that for now. That's sort of the will experience. And do you feel like that fleshes it out? Do you have anything, Moshe, from your side of it, in your own experience, and especially with the work you're doing, that gives another perspective from maybe a business model?
It's. The piece I would add is sometimes, and this shows up in life and particularly in business, we try to power through things just with will. Mm. So I think the issue is the relationship between soul and will is soul gets lost, and it's only about will.
Yes.
So one way to put it is to get through life in this physical reality, will is a necessary but not sufficient ingredient. That's how I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's powerful, because understanding that can really, again, change everything. Because understand that a lot of times will is driven from fear. It's a not enough experience. If you're only operating from will, then your only comparison point is them.
Yeah.
Or it. There is no abundance. There's plenty for everybody. There's only my slice. And if that's my slice, you better get off my slice, because I'm coming for my slice. but that's all will driven, guys. That's all. And understand, that's what we've been taught. That's what we've been trained is the way we're supposed to operate in the world. And I would say to you, look at the state of the world to see how well that's working.
Yeah.
Look at the state of our government, when the person at the pinnacle of our government is completely and 100% absorbed in will. However, he can move it, inflict it, whatever, and those that surround him are doing the same thing. They're operating from a completely will-based experience and forcing that on whoever they feel like forcing it on. And so it's up to us. And this is, I didn't mean for this to go political, and I'm not going political. I just want to use it as an example of a very clear example of how that's happening in the world today, right now. And if you can extrapolate that in your own experience, you can see where you're at on the scale. That's an extreme end of the scale. Although there's some 70 million people that are in alignment with that based on our election process. So this creates an interesting conundrum because there's a group of people that think that there is a different perspective and there are those that have this one perspective. And that's the life in the world we live in. So again, we have to come back to self. We have to come back to what is this? Who am I? And who is this? And how am I expressing it in the world?
Well, yeah, and I just want to add that in your book, I think one really useful thing is you help people address fears with more than will. It's not, I'm going to overcome my fears. I'm going to crush them and get rid of them. It's far more than that. You give the soul context.
Yes. And it's about that ability to change frequency and vibration. It's energy, guys. It's always about energy in the end. So if you can get to that understanding and get to that experience, it makes it so much easier to differentiate between will and soul, because there's the inspired place and then there's the action that can take place out of that inspired space. And time is just flying by here. Let's carry on. I'm going to skip the commercial because we already had the book section. So we'll come back later, not to lose the time. So quick adjustment on the fly. So that conversation about will. So let's chat a little bit about soul here so we can differentiate. And I'm not quite sure how to jump in on this one. So to me, we are the will part of us is actually the smallest part of us. It is the completely physical world driven thing. And in the soul, where you're thinking in terms of energy, the soul being that spark of the divine that is in us, that is us, that animates us, that is where we are sourced from, essentially. If we get that, whether it's through a religious context or a spiritual context, if we get that, then we get to know that when you connect in that space into that energy, you're about where is the flow of things going? How are things evolving? It's kind of a bigger picture, kind of the view from 50,000 feet sort of thing. So if you have this view from 50,000 feet, you can see a lot. You can see a lot in what's happening. And then you can use the inspiration that you see. So you're seeing this 50,000 foot view. And within the context of this view, you're seeing a path of least resistance or a path that appears to be moving in the direction you want to go. So you use the tools within the tool shed, one of those tools being the will. The soul then focuses. And as the soul focuses, it begins to create momentum. That momentum creates is the will. That momentum is the focus that is needed to go to that place that the soul is focusing into. And then once you're into that zone, you go there and it begins to open up. And now you can begin to operate within the context of that. How am I doing so far?
I'm sitting with it. And okay. I interpret that, or I translate that as meaning, ideally, the soul says, go there. And then the will kicks in to make it happen.
Yes, because you don't have to listen to that, right? If you're sitting in that space, the cool thing is you're always at choice. And being this wonderful combination of soul and will, you always have the ability to choose. So even if you're in the soul and you're having an inspiration, now see, for me, those inspirations are sort of choiceless choices, meaning they're so when the soul focuses, it's so inspiring and so uplifting to me. And it doesn't matter how little or big the thing is we're focused in. It has such a powerful, uplifting, expanding experience that it's almost impossible not to step in. Like, I say that not because I am a victim of anything. I say it because the anticipation and excitement of what is coming in that experience is so profound that it helps the physical vessel, the ego, to then focus with the soul. And then the momentum begins to be created because we get to move in that direction. You can sit in soul and look at all kinds of things and go, oh, that feels good. Oh, that feels good, and do nothing. You know, that's called sitting under a rock and meditating for 20 years. Good deal. If you can do it and you like it, why not? You know, but personally, that was never my journey. So this makes it a little more challenging because you're not trying to divorce yourself from the physical reality. You're realizing that this soul experience is evolving you through it, and that if you allow it, it will help you to get to those things that most satisfy you, most uplift you, most engage you into this thing called life, which is not about forcing anything. It's about allowing everything.
Wow, that was good. I like that.
I'm going to take a breath. Can you talk for a little while?
That's funny.
I love having these conversations. Sometimes I don't feel like we're having a conversation, though. I feel like I'm running my mouth. But so I hope that that helps to kind of distinguish where we're at. Soul, will, the relationship. Moshe, is there anything in this so far that doesn't feel like it's clear enough or needs more? Or is there somewhere in there you feel like you want to add some more from your own experience in that regard?
Yes, it's about clarifying two aspects of will, or what could be two aspects of will. One is the desire, I'm going to make a lot of money. And the other piece is the follow through. The motivation to do the work and make a lot of money. And what I hear you saying is ideally the desire is soul driven or soul initiated.
Yes. It isn't that the ego doesn't want, but those wants are not, those wants are more often, those wants are physically driven. Those are the thing, what I can see, taste, touch, smell there. That's how I would say that they kind of focus.
So, yeah, I'm thinking of how, if we can use money, one of our three topics for today, mm-hmm. as an example of, would the soul tell us make a lot of money?
No. No. Okay, so let's go there because it's time to go there. And we're at that point in the conversation. So what happened in the rest of, and I think I talked about this a little bit in what happened over the intervening weeks is what I discovered in unraveling this, in part due, thank you to Moshe, was in unraveling this, I realized that the thing that had gotten into the mix that caused me to go will focused was money. And I, like many of us on the planet, have our own version of whatever we have in the with regard to money and our relationship to it, whether it's issues or non-issues, whatever. But we all have money stuff in some form or fashion. And it's hard not to, because the construct in the of money, again, has been inexorably tied to will. So we have it structured in our culture that the way you get to what you want is through forcing your way, pushing your way, driving your way, pounding your way into what it is you think you need to do in order to make money at this thing that you think you're good at, in order to be successful. That's devoid of anything other than physical reality, right? That's just straightforward. So it's always fight, struggle. Where's mine? Do I have enough? I want my slice. Where's my slice? Who's got my slice? You have too much. Give me yours. You don't, you know, there's all of this mine kind of energy that goes with that. I don't think so. So the introduction of money, and that's what got me hooked, was here I am, I'm doing a show, I've got a book, I've got these programs, and I would love for them to create money. I would love for them to make money. But that's not what they were created for. The intention that created this book had nothing to do with money. The intention that created this show had nothing to do with money. The desire to earn money from it has occurred, right? Because it's out there and we are a commodity-driven world. And so the idea is, if you have something that you can offer of value, people will give you money for that. An exchange of energy, right? I'm giving a lot of energy about a particular thing. You're giving me money, which is your exchange of that interchange of experience. But understand, for me anyway, what I realized was that when I brought that money into these creations, it was destroying them. It was messing them up because the energy couldn't sustain. I couldn't sustain the energy in both because of how I see it. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question? So far, kind of.
Yeah, most of it. Because there's still, I think, we need to tease apart the two things: the drive, like you said. If you have a goal making money, then for some of us, it's I'm going to push through it. I'm going to make it happen. It's like this hyper focus on it. So to me, that's one that hyper focus could happen in terms of how I'm going to achieve the goal, in this case, making money, even if the goal was soul driven.
Yes. And that brings us to this idea of differentiating these strands of energy.
Yes.
Right. So I call it keeping the energy strands individuated. I don't know if I made up that word, but I think it's a word. So what I realized in this unfolding of this process was there is an energy strand that's called my book. There's an energy strand that's called Adventures in Truth. There's an energy strand that's called The Science of Transformation. There's an energy strand that's called my relationship with Michael. There's a just understand that everything is a strand of energy. It's a focus that we have within the context of our field. So depending on how we're interacting in the world, if you're at work, then that's a particular strand you're focused in. You're focused in the strand of work. Money is its own strand. Money is not new. Money is not some woo-woo thing that has some mysterious powers beyond the strand that it is. It is one other thing in the thing of things. So when I'm thinking about prosperity and abundance and creating that in my life, that is a strand unto itself. And if I can allow for not knowing necessarily how, and this is, again, where I think it's gone sideways, is we've become so attached to how things get done and that we are responsible for the how of it, that it has immersed us in this idea that, well, I have to do this book in order to make money. I have to do this thing in order for this thing to happen. And what I'm saying to you in my experience is that is absolutely not the case. The less we can do that, the more prosperous we can be, the more powerful we can be in all of our strands when we recognize they are differentiated. So I can focus on the need to create financial resources to take care of myself. It may come through my book and my show and my program, but I'm not tying them to that so that I have unlimited opportunity to create income that I don't have to know how I'm doing it. I just have to show up for it. And I'm going to give you just some examples here in just a second. Does that make sense, Moshe?
Yes.
Does that go a little further? What are your thoughts on that?
I think keep going.
Okay. So we have Jackie is out there. Hi, Miss Jackie. And so she says, so would soul promote desire? Will promotes movement? If I understand what you're saying there, I think the answer is yes. So if what you're saying, Jackie, is the soul produces this desire or the focus, right? So there's a relationship here. You're a physical body. You are dealing with the physical reality. So all of that input is necessary. You're trying to live successfully on the planet. So we take in with the five senses, take in all this information, right? You're seeing, if you look into science, we hear way more than we are conscious of. We see way more than we're conscious of. We smell way more than we're conscious of, but we only see within a certain frequency, right? Or experience those within a certain frequency. So as we're moving through life, there is a stimulation in the soul to want to feel or experience or go in a direction, because that's what it's here for, to explore this physical reality, to experience this reality. And then that focuses when, if it stimulates the ego, which if the ego is in alignment with the soul, then chances are good when the soul, when you feel that experience of engagement, when you feel that upliftment, the ego, the will wants to step in and go, how do we get there? 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 And the soul will say, don't worry about how you get there. Just focus on getting there. Just stay focused there. Keep your physical focus there. And that's what you do through your daily practice, through the things that help fine tune your energy and field, so that when that inspiration comes, the apparatus is already loaded and it says yes. And you feel that soul come through, and then you feel it focusing through the will. And then the will brings it to the physical plane so that you can operate to the next step. I'm going to connect to that person. I'm going to do this activity. I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to take that walk. I'm going to do that exercise, whatever it is that shows up. But when you do it from that place, it's deeply satisfying, and very much the satisfaction is because that whole experience of being in the journey, it's satisfying because it is a piece of the end result already showing up in you. You've taken a step, and that end result, because you've reached out to it and you're moving toward it, you have this experience where it's leading you, it's guiding you to the next step. It's taking you on that journey, just simply because in this now, this is the only thing, like, as an example, again, back to the glasses and the picking up the glasses. I want to see. I want to be able to see. So that feeling is so cool. I want to see. Oh, look, I have, look, these glasses might help me see. So now my will is moving to these glasses, and all the steps that we talked about earlier. Now I have the ability to see better, which enables me to see more clearly where I'm going, which is a part of the solution, which is a part of the end result already. Does that make sense? The yeah. journey, the satisfaction of those places along the way of the journey is the taste of that end result that you are given or giving yourself to continue moving toward that, because you are creating the pathway to it. That's why I don't like treadmills. Running somebody else's path to a destination is not your path to the destination. And running somebody else's path to the destination may not get you to the destination, because it's not your path.
Yes. Well, and on a treadmill, literally you're
it's the illusion of movement.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to add something to Jackie's question.
Yes.
Which, Jackie, that was a really nice summary. I agree that certainly will creates the movement, and the soul can create the desire. The trick is that the will can also create desire.
I would clarify, the will create wants, not desires.
Okay. Now we need to distinguish between the two. Yeah.
Go ahead, but go ahead with your point. Yes.
Yeah. So where it gets tricky is discerning whether what we want or desire is will-driven or soul-driven. And I think it feels different in my experiences. It feels different in my body. Yes. One is the soul-driven is lighter and more expansive. The will-driven is more like a tightening and I got to go. I got to do this.
Yes. Yeah, there's sort of a clamping down with will, but will tends to want to push. Will tends to want to drive. And so the cool thing with the relationship is you can feel the balance of your relationship when, if you are finding yourself needing to go for something, if you're finding yourself needing to anything that feels like that, you're in will. The soul never comes from that place. The inspiration never comes from that place. There's never a point where you should have to beat anything into submission in order for it to be a part of your experience. So that balance is how aggressive, how that's what happened for me. My balancing point tipped. So suddenly I was feeling this kind of aggressive need to do things because they were going to make money. because they were going to help me be successful, because they were the how of this is the way I got to get it done. And as you can hear in my voice, there's a ugh to that. Even as I talk about it, I wasn't even thinking it. I was just talking about it. But I heard that tone in my voice where that's very different than feeling an inspiration to step into something. There's no resistance. There's nothing to battle. There's nobody to battle. This is me aligning with this desire, this vision, this clarity, and simply allowing myself to be drawn into it. Just like we go from forcing to allowing. What I think allowing is about is surrendering to the pull of the desire that's calling you, instead of surrendering to the will that's ordering you.
That's an important distinction.
Right? I like that. I had to stop there because I went, oh, yeah. Because there is a certain amount of order to the will that is about this. And not this, not, oh, let me experience this. So, I was checking. Jackie's being very vocal today and sharing all of her excitement about what we're talking about. Wanted to make sure we weren't missing a question. So we're still talking about keeping the energy strands individuated. So I want to make sure that has kind of come clear, but also I don't want to leave this particular thing if we didn't get clarity here. Are we good with where we're at?
I'm waiting to see.
Okay. I don't have an answer. Though it must be good because it seems to be flowing.
Yeah.
So keeping the energy strands differentiated, again, in my experiences, and I know this sounds like splitting hairs a bit. And quite honestly, I think that in a way it is, but in a way it's not. And I say that is it depends on which perspective you're looking from. If you're looking from the will at this perspective, it's going to feel like splitting hairs. If you're looking at it from the soul, it actually like it has so much space, it's ridiculous, because you see the reality of all of that. You experience the reality of all that, and you don't lose context in that way. I don't know if that makes sense. That view, the soul view, the view from 50,000 feet, is an expansive view. So within that context of that expansive view, you don't have to have an opinion. You don't have to have you don't have to force anything. You simply see the larger picture, and then you focus awareness, and then awareness gets focused. And then we engage the will to bring that into our physical experience. So if we think about these energy strands with regard to money, if you can differentiate money from every other strand, then you can give clean energy to money, meaning you can focus into money and create for yourself simply by desiring that creation, unattached to anything else. So the only thing that's going to be in the way of you in creating that is if you have any worthiness or self-worth issues hanging around in that money stream. But if you've got that money stream tied to your work and your career and your relationship, how could you possibly differentiate all those? Because you got to separate them all to get to the right answer. No wonder it's frustrating as hell. No wonder people want to go pull their hair out. Because again, like you and I think talked about on the last show, it's all of this. It's taking this big old knot of energy and then pretending like it's one stream of energy and wondering why this won't fit through the doorway. You know, it's like, just isn't going to happen.
Well, and this shows up in business quite a bit, where we get money mixed up with, say, purpose.
Yes.
And in my view, and this is something I emphasize in my book, that no business exists to make money. No one starts a business simply to make money. It's always to solve a problem or to make something better or seize a new way of doing things. So really, business exists as a social enterprise to make life better for people. And a byproduct, a really important byproduct, no margin, no mission, a really important byproduct is making money.
Yeah.
But in my experience, what happens is businesses lose that and start focusing on shareholder return or bonuses or things like that. And that overwhelms, that obscures the purpose, why they're there as a company, their higher purpose that connects them with providing value to society, making a difference in people's lives. So to me, that's the energy strands of purpose and money kind of getting all squished together, and then the money wrapping everything up and the purpose getting totally obscured.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I love that you so clearly outlined that in the business model, because it really shows the truth of it, because it doesn't change regardless of where you apply the truth in our life experience. So whether it's in business or relationship or individually, the answer is still the same. The experience is still the same. And how awesome that we have the opportunity to learn about this differentiation process so that you can focus in purpose and money and career, and that you can attend to those strands individually. They may come together and they may cross over, but they'll never be, unless there is a transformation that makes them become something greater, you'll still always have those individual strands. So there's a point that maybe with my book that I could reach a level that I could reach enough people with this message that creates a concurrent experience of financial monies and prosperity coming into my experience because people are purchasing the book. Somewhere in those two strands, and I'm not in the strand of creating money, book is there because it's an opportunity. Program is there because it's an opportunity, but it's not limited to those opportunities. Those are just avenues for it to show up in my world, but I don't have to force it. I can continue to focus on the strand of sharing the message, getting this out in the world, and being true to who I am, and things will come together in order for me to have the finances, because I'm also over here working on my abundance and prosperity and knowing that I am worthy of whatever it is I need, and I'm always taken care of, and I am always, things are always working out for me. So I'm always creating the things that I want in my life because I know I deserve them and because I want to continue to evolve my experience. And so I just as a quick wrap up, because Moshe, I forgot, we glazed over giving you a chance too, because I want to have you be able to talk to the audience for a minute or two. But some of the things that have happened as a result of the clarifying of this individuated strands of energy, over the course of the last week, I have had 4 phone calls from people looking to do the science of transformation, actually looking to do higher brain living, because they found me from a magazine from 2015. They found me from somehow they found an old remnant of a web page from 2012, like random, like nobody I know calling me from California going, hey, are you still doing this? And then in addition to that, I got another call from a friend who is super excited about my book and feels like there's a ton of potential, who ordered 21 copies of my book to give out to all of his family and friends for Christmas, including some very influential people who he feels would benefit greatly from this book. And I simply changed my perspective. I wasn't driving anything. I simply went, oh, I've got this all tangled up. Let's untangle it. And when I untangled it, I felt better. Suddenly my show was wonderful and I was connected to it again. I was feeling good about it. And everything shifted because I let everything be where it naturally needs to be. And knowing that if things in the money market are looking a little slow, then I can simply focus a little energy there. And I can give some love to that. And I can say, hey, let's figure out some ways to create some money. What can we do here? And then allow for whatever that is. It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to be anything I'm even doing currently. There's just ways that money shows up that's just extraordinary. And when you allow that to happen, and again, faith and trust, you build the ability to allow those differentiated energies to function, and you feel at peace while it's happening. that's the more, the even greater piece of it is you're at peace with you in the process, because you'd realize it's all working out.
Beautiful. And the big difference I hear as I reflect on our earlier conversations, when the strands of energy were intertwined and not individuated, is you're more like sitting, you're but letting it happen and doing the work.
Yes.
So it's an example of soul creating the desire and your will kicking in to do the work, versus before your soul was out of the mix.
Yes. And or it was feeling it was out of balance. It wasn't completely out, but it was definitely not. It was out enough that it felt terrible.
Yeah. And that you could recognize this isn't mostly soul driven. Something's out of whack.
Yeah. We have blasted through an hour, Moshe, and I have kept none of my agreements in this hour.
That is not true. I'm happy we had this conversation as we did.
Guys, thank you for being here. This one had to be kind of peeled apart a little bit. Excuse me. And I appreciate you guys walking through this. And I hope that if you have other questions, if some of this stimulated some thoughts and ideas in you, send me a note, leave a note in the comments, wherever you are, or shoot me an email and we will carry on this conversation further. Moshe, always love these conversations. And so appreciate you taking the time to do this series with me and to be a part of this, means a lot to me. So thank you for that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Guys, Moshe's book, The Amari Wave, which I neglected to say anything about this entire time, The Amari Wave, sitting here on my desk, amazing book, Putting Love Back into Business. Got to get that book. Check out Moshe. If you're looking for your business to go to the next level, talk to Moshe. He does extraordinary work with consulting and through The Amari Wave and bringing this Amari Wave onto the planet. So very excited about that. www.amariwave.com. You can find me again at www.adventuresintruth.com. If you want to learn more about the science of transformation, more about the book, more about the show. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. And we appreciate you very much, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Moshe.
Bye-bye. See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.